The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
There's a reason that we live so far from Hollywood, in the country looking hard to find a home, with nothing perfect or considered.
Bonjour, hi, Canada, Hugh Hewitt on this Thursday morning. Welcome to Inside the Beltway, where fall has really arrived and just in time. It was my great honor to attend a preview of the new Dwight D. Eisenhower Memorial on Independence Avenue last night, and what an extraordinary memorial to Ike it is. I hope your next trip to Washington, you will swing by and see the amazing statue of Ike with his presidential garb on, but more importantly, Ike greeting the 101st Airborne on the occasion of the eve of D-Day. It's very, very stirring. It's a famous photograph. Now it stands watch on Independence Avenue. A salute to every American who has served, to the greatest generation, to every generation thereafter. It comes amid a clear choice to choose peace through strength, as Eisenhower embodied, and strategic ambiguity that he developed, or weakness, indecision, perfidy in some cases, incoherence in others. Joe Biden yesterday having a terrible day trying to get anything straight, and the rickety appearance of Joe Biden continues to alarm, and the inability of Joe Biden to say the most obvious things. He ought to have joined the chorus of condemnation of Iranian threats against the ambassador of the United States to South Africa. He's been silent. Meanwhile, he's out throwing shade and casting doubt on a vaccine at a very moment when we need a massive unity, a public affairs program from left to right, north to south, on every media possible to encourage people to get ready for and take a vaccine. Joe Biden is out joining the anti-vaxxers. In fact, Donald Trump went out last night and hit Biden on this. And I think this is very important. Cut number nine.
I'm calling on Biden to stop promoting his anti-vaccine theories, because all they're doing is hurting the importance of what we're doing. And I know that if they were in this position, they'd be saying how wonderful it is. They're recklessly endangering lives. You can't do that. And again, this is really a case that they're only talking, just started talking a little bit negatively, and that's only because they know we have it. Or we will soon have it. And the answer to that is very soon.
And so Democrats are out there knocking the vaccine. That's going to kill hundreds of thousands of people. We've lost 200,000 Americans, probably the fewest that could have been lost after China's perfidy, after the Chinese Communist Party completely lied to us on every front, as National Security Advisor O'Brien said on the show yesterday. But the vaccine is coming, and we cannot have Democrats out there persuading people not to take it, suggesting that it's not safe. It's anti-vaxxer nuttery. Instead, we need a national campaign of unity. We need, I'll be happy to be part of it. I'm sure every broadcaster will. Get your vaccine, get it now. We need to get it out and get it distributed and get it taken by everyone as quickly as possible so the country can return to normal as soon as possible. The president also called for stimulus payments and massive economic relief bill yesterday. Between Nancy Pelosi's nutty bill and the Republican skinny bill, the president endorsed something called the Problem Solvers Caucus approach. It was unveiled Tuesday by the Bipartisan Problem Solvers Caucus in the House. It's about $1.5 trillion. It's about halfway between the Republican plan and the Democrat plan. Makes a lot of sense. The president did not endorse it. He just said, take a look at it. That's big news. There's a lot of big news made yesterday. I want to begin, though, with the peace accord, the Abraham Accord, signed by Israel and the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain and Israel, the two Arab states joining with Israel to create peace. Jared Kushner went on Fox yesterday with Harris Faulkner, said this, cut number one.
I remember being with you at the embassy move in Jerusalem when all these same experts who are belittling this deal were saying that that would lead to war and chaos in the Middle East, and that President Trump keeping his promise and recognizing Israel's sovereign right to declare their own capital was something that was, for whatever reason, going to make the Middle East less safe. Well, the opposite's happened. So I think what you've seen over the last 3 years is that the people who hate President Trump, often irrationally, have been wrong and continue to be wrong. They said that when President Trump was elected to office that we'd see World War III, but yesterday at the White House, we signed two peace deals. And just to give context to your audience, the last peace deal that was signed in the Middle East was 26 years ago between Israel and Jordan. And in 72 years of Israel's history, they'd signed only two peace deals. And then the last month, we've done two peace deals in addition to those two. So again, when President Trump took office, the Middle East was a mess. The so-called experts in Washington had their own way of doing it. And quite frankly, their way led to a lot of instability and a lot of failure, which hurt America in the Middle East. And obviously, President Trump is creating peace and pushing the region in a much more positive direction.
Good for Jared Kushner. And he is talking about the failed analysis of the foreign policy elite. John Kerry, was at Brookings when he was Secretary of State in 2016. And this made the rounds on Twitter last night. And I will post it at Hugh Hewitt on Twitter. John Kerry, Brookings, 2016, cut number two.
There will be no separate peace between Israel and the Arab world. I want to make that very clear to all of you. I've heard several prominent politicians in Israel sometimes saying, well, the Arab world's in a different place now. We just have to reach out to them and we can work some things with the Arab world and we'll deal with the Palestinians. No, 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 and no. I can tell you that reaffirmed even in the last week as I have talked to leaders of the Arab community. There will be no advance and separate peace with the Arab world without the Palestinian process and Palestinian peace. Everybody needs to understand that. That is a hard reality.
Actually, no, it's not. That is a hard mistake. That is a hard 100% error. There was peace this week with the Arab world. It is spreading. The Palestinians can join if they want, but no longer will the Arab world wait for the Palestinians and give them a veto over their own economic and security interest. Iran is the enemy. And John Kerry could not be more wrong. The appeasement deal with Iran was wrong. The assessment of the Palestinian centrality to peace in the Middle East was wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Let me check markets because yesterday in the rundown, the key story is actually the Federal Reserve. The Fed set higher hurdles for a rate increase, saying they're basically not going to raise interest rates until 2023. They're at zero. But the Financial Times says the new monetary policy came out to mixed reviews and that global equity slipped after the Fed comes up short. I don't know how it could come up short. So there's not much, I suppose it goes to quantitative easing again, as it did after 2008. But the economy seems to be making a V-shaped recovery anyway. This is brought to you by our friends at Birch Gold. Go to HughGold.com. HughGold.com. If you want to switch some of your IRA 401k over to physical precious metals, gold and silver stored in your own vault, maintained by Birch Gold, or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. Have the reliability of physical metals on your side. Make sure that it's secure. Make sure you have part of your retirement invested in that which wealth has always, for millennia, invested in, gold and silver. Birch Gold will also sell you gold direct. I bought gold from them just last month. And you can get that at HughGold.com as well. Contact them or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. But they'll send you an information kit on your IRA or your 401k diversification immediately when you text my name, Hugh, to 474747. Mixed market yesterday. The Dow was up 36 points. The NASDAQ was down 139 as big tech and other stocks fell. Overreaction, I think, to the Fed report. The S&P off 15. This morning, overseas, everything is red. Japan went down. Hong Kong went down. England and Germany are down. But interest rates remain below 0.7%. Gold is down a bit to 1947. It's a great time to call Birch Gold again. Text my name, Hugh, to 474747. Can we hear John Kerry one more time being wrong in 2016? Cut number two.
There will be no separate peace between Israel and the Arab world. I want to make that very clear to all of you. I've heard several prominent politicians in Israel sometimes saying, well, the Arab world's in a different place now. We just have to reach out to them and we can work some things with the Arab world and we'll deal with the Palestinians. No, 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 and no.
As someone said on Twitter last night, that aged as well as milk in a sauna. And it's only 4 years ago. You know, Senator Kerry has Secretary Kerry have served a long time, the United States. He's been wrong a lot. And boy, was he wrong here. There is a separate peace. The Palestinians don't drive it. The Arab world drives it. And I drive the Hugh Hewitt Show into the next segment right after this. Stay tuned. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. Welcome back, America. Jim Harbaugh music. As he dances through the big house, clapping at the idea of maybe this will be the year that he beats the Ohio State Buckeyes. I don't think so. But the good news is Big Ten football is back. And we have President Trump to thank for it. In fact, he said so yesterday. Cut number 14, President Trump at the White House.
I want to congratulate Big Ten football. It's back. And I want to, in particular, I've been dealing with him, thank Commissioner Kevin Warren for the great job he did. We've been working with him for a while. There was a rumor being spread that I didn't want football back, and it was just the opposite. That was another disinformation rumor put out by the Biden campaign, and it was just the opposite, but it really spurred me into action. I called the commissioner a couple of weeks ago, and we started really putting a lot of pressure on, frankly, because there was no reason for it not to come back, and Kevin went in and worked very hard. I want to thank the players, the coaches for working along, and they wanted it very badly. The players and coaches in particular, the parents also. And Big Ten football just announced, as you know, that their schedule, they announced the schedule, and it's going to be great, important to have. I want to recommend that the Pac-12 also get going, because there's no reason why Pac-12 shouldn't be playing now. And
well, let's stop in there. Would someone get the president word that USC is involved in that? Because honestly, it should be the Pac-11. Then they could probably get it organized. But as I think we all know, USC is really incapable of executing anything. They actually just don't know how to get anything done at USC. And God love them, their band is banned, which nobody has noticed because a band without trumpets is not really a band anyway. As many people know, the USC band has not had trumpets since World War II when they melted them down for the war effort, and they've just played with French horns since then, but they can't even get the French horns to march right now. So I'm not sure the Pac-12 needs to come back. The Pac-11, perhaps. I would like you to hear an RNC ad that played yesterday. Cut number 7.
Harris Biden administration is going to relaunch that effort.
A Harris administration together with Joe Biden.
And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are.
A Harris administration.
Then the World War II. He had the war.
A Harris administration together with Joe Biden.
Harris Biden administration is going to relaunch that effort.
It won't be Joe Biden in charge, the ad says. I think that's just devastating. It's so on target. Joe is so rickety. And yesterday he gave just the craziest speech. But he did include this little nugget in it, cut number four.
Hope bears fruit. That's what America does at its best. We unite. We do it together. And I'm confident we'll be able to. So I want to thank you. God bless our scientists and researchers. And our frontline workers, and may God protect our troops. I'll be happy to take some questions now, if that's okay. Let me put my list here. Everybody's sitting. Okay. ABC, Mary.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. You just said that.
Did you hear that? He got a list out and he looked at it, and it was a list of who to call for questions. And it's all prearranged. It's all set up. Contrast that with Donald Trump yesterday, just zipping out there, talking to everyone. The key message yesterday, by the way, for those affected by Sally, cut number eight.
Hurricane Sally made landfall, as you know, in Alabama and Florida last night as a Category 2 hurricane, and has caused 35 inches of rainfall in some places. That's a lot. We have hundreds of FEMA, Coast Guard. We have the National Guard personnel on the ground assisting response to the efforts, and Alabama is in great shape, and every place that we are working with the state governments, really in great shape. We are working very hard on that. But it looks like it's going to be.
But man, is it a lot of rain. It's the first week that we're on the air for FM 101, the information station in Panama City. Stay safe and on high ground, Panama City. I saw the pictures last night. Hugh Hewitt's here, as we all are, with you in our prayers and thoughts. Stay tuned.
Hey, man, sing me a song. When we were everyone, we were more than just a slice of American pie.
Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt inside the Beltway on a beautiful fall day, dawning on a Thursday here inside the nation's capital. I want to remind you that SalemNow.com has a new movie available. It's called One Nation Under God. It's about, again, the story of David Gutierrez. He comes from a single mother home and obtains a scholarship to Lee High School Magnet School. But he runs into trouble because of his outspoken beliefs about his faith. And well, you watch the story, SalemNow.com, and use my name, Hugh, and you'll get a 20% discount on this inspiring One Nation Under God movie available at SalemNow.com. Also, don't forget, I played for you a couple of excerpts from Kyle Mills' interview with me. He's the author of Vince Flynn, Total Power, a Mitch Rapp novel, which I think is the best Mitch Rapp novel ever. So I want you to go off and get it at bookstores. I saw a friend of mine at the Eisenhower preview last night. The Ike Memorial opens on Independence Avenue today, and there was a preview last night for those of us who have some connection with the Eisenhower family. It's a magnificent memorial. Saw Senator Pat Roberts from Kansas there, and my friend Dan Poneman. We were talking about Dan being the former Deputy Secretary of Energy about Total Power. It's the scariest doggone book. It is really a terrific book. One final note, make sure you remember, keep America America. This is an operation of the Job Creators Network, a sponsor of the show. The key to this election in November is turnout. The left has got their get-out-the-vote machine. They're doing everything they can to win in November. You need to, too. If you want to keep America America, then join the Job Creators Network and get out the vote. You agree to get involved and get your friends and family involved, too.
Just go to keepamericaamerica.com. Become part of the biggest get-out-the-vote effort in conservative history. We have a country to save. Do a little, do a lot, but do something. And by saving, I mean I really cannot see going back to Joe Biden and appeasement. Not after the Iranians threatened to assassinate our ambassador to South Africa yesterday. I just finished sending into the Post a column about this. Joe Biden needs to stop talking trash about vaccines and being an anti-vaxxer and start warning the Iranians that that is a bipartisan consensus. By the way, it was pioneered by Bill Clinton. When Saddam Hussein threatened George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton cruise missiled him. And that went away. Saddam tried to kill George H.W. Bush when the former president was visiting Kuwait after his presidency, and Bill Clinton immediately responded, as every American should, with cruise missiles. Every American president should, with cruise missiles aimed at the person daring to threaten an American abroad, especially a president or ambassador, an official of the government. And that is not at all what we've heard from Joe Biden. We haven't heard anything from Joe Biden. He doesn't know where he is. Look, Joe Rogan got the most listened to podcast in America. Joe Rogan bluntly put it this way yesterday, cut number 17.
I'd also vote for Whoopi Goldberg over Joe Biden. I'd vote for Mike Tyson over Joe Biden. I just don't think it's a good idea to take someone who's struggling with dementia and put him in one of the most stressful positions the world has ever known. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's not an endorsement of Trump. It is me saying you shouldn't have a man who's clearly in the throes of dementia. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but when you can't form sentences in public and you forget what you're talking about and you wander off into these conversations, if you're not smoking pot, you're not high, if you're not on pills, like, what's going on? Well, there's cognitive decline. He's an older man that has mental issues. And, you know, not to be cruel to him, he's suffering medically. This is a real issue. And the Democrats want to sweep that under the rug. And Trump is already chewing him apart. He's already dismissing him. I mean, there is a recent thing that Kyle Kulinski posted, a video on his Twitter, talking about this is what happens when you don't discuss the elephant in the room. And it's Trump saying, he used to do a press conference, and they asked him a question about something that Biden wrote. He goes, Biden didn't write that. He's like, he's that's a Democratic operative. He didn't read it. He probably doesn't even know what's going on right now. And he's gonna continue to do that, and it's such a vulnerable point. And I don't know why the Democrats thought it would be a good idea to take someone who's clearly got a problem.
Yeah, this is Joe Rogan. Now, for those of you who don't know who Joe Rogan is, you're probably over 70. Would someone look up the stats on how far Adam Carolla and Joe Rogan are the most listened to people in America on demand? They have the largest podcast in America. Now, I am one of the top five radio talk show hosts in America. We have a different format, right? I give you news, weather, traffic, sports, wherever you are, as well as breaking news. Joe Rogan just talks to you and does the Joe Rogan thing. There are some other great podcasts, Barstool Sports. There's lots of great stuff out there, and people are listening on demand. But I'm not worried. Talk radio is here forever, and I'm glad to welcome new people into the arena. But Joe Rogan is perhaps a little blunt, right? Maybe I'm a little too diplomatic for Joe. I've talked about the former vice president losing not a step, but a lap. Joe Rogan, I don't know that the vice president has dementia. I don't know that. Joe Rogan doesn't know that. All I know is that he's clueless sometimes. Contrast that with Donald Trump talking yesterday about the stimulus package, which the centrist in the House of Representatives came up with. Cut number 24.
Are you comfortable with the $500 billion for the states?
Something like that. Yeah, I like the larger amount. I've said that. You know, some of the Republicans disagree, but I think I can convince them to go along with that because I like the larger number. I want to see people get money. I want to see. It wasn't their fault that this happened. It was China's fault. You know, people say, oh, maybe you shouldn't say that. That's not nice. It was China's fault. So I'd like to see the larger number. Yeah, I would like to see it. There are some things I disagree with, but I'm sure they can be negotiating. Now, I heard Nancy Pelosi said she doesn't want to leave until we have an agreement. She's come a long way. That's great. If she said that, she's come a long way. I agree with her. We should have an agreement. People should be helped, and they should be helped as rapidly as possible. And I think it's going to happen. I think it's very important. So the problem solvers came up with, it's a group of people, in Congress, as you know them all. I know them all. They're very good people. I guess you'd consider them dead center. But in many cases, they're not. They're left, they're right. But they came up with this idea. And I think they're well on their way to suggesting some pretty good things. Yeah.
So in terms of things,
I agree with a lot of it.
In terms of things that you don't agree, are you comfortable with the $500 million?
I think the things I don't agree, we can probably negotiate. But I think we've made some progress over the last week. And I think it was positive that they came out with that report.
Just to button this up, would you endorse that proposal?
Well, not that proposal, but we're getting closer. We're getting closer. I do like a lot of money getting sent to people that really were hurt unnecessarily by China because they could have stopped it. They stopped it from going into their country. They could have stopped it from coming to our country and from going to Europe and from going to the rest of the world, 188 different countries from all over the world. Please.
There are like 5,000 different bills floating around Congress on what to do. Chuck Schumer's even got a good bill. Well, the Emergency Information and Local Broadcast Bill, which I know will help a lot of my affiliates and radio across the United States, not big shows like mine, but little stations, one and two stick mom pop operators. But I know that a lot of local newspapers got crushed. I know that they're vital to the communities that they serve. I know that a lot of people were too big for PPP and too small for bank loans from the Fed. They got crushed. I know that a lot of people who are unemployed can't go back because their restaurants are still shut down. I know a lot of entrepreneurs got crushed. So the president is seeking a middle ground. But I know one thing we need to do, which is to stop this anti-vaxxer. I almost use a word the FCC would fine me for, coming out of Joe Biden. The president got up. I mean, he called him out on this stuff, too. It's going to kill the vaccine effort if Joe Biden and Kamala Harris don't stop suggesting the vaccine might be dangerous. It's not going to be approved by the FDA if it is other than efficacious. Donald Trump, cut number nine.
I'm calling on Biden to stop promoting his anti-vaccine theories because all they're doing is hurting the importance of what we're doing. And I know that if they were in this position, they'd be saying how wonderful it is. They're recklessly endangering lives. You can't do that. And again, this is really a case that they're only talking, just started talking a little bit negatively, and that's only because they know we have it, or we will soon have it. And the answer to that is very soon.
Very soon. Scott Atlas, the White House advisor from Stanford, said this yesterday. Dr. Atlas, cut number 19.
Good job. And please, Scott, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. And I didn't develop the plan. I'm just relaying information here. This is a plan that's a 57-page document that was sent to every state today. And there's a different part of this that was given to Congress today. It was released by HHS. It's on the website. And, in fact, I thought it was covered, actually, by the media, so I don't think it's a surprise. But it's a comprehensive plan. It's a public-private partnership to get everything done in terms of logistics, the IT that's necessary to trace the first dose, because some of these vaccines are anticipated to be two doses. There's tailoring, of course, by the states and their specifics, and there's an administration of the vaccine plan. It will be done in over 51,000 outlets, including for particular attention to minority areas, over 14,000 federally qualified health centers. And as the president just said, within the first 24 hours of FDA's approval under an emergency use, we will have vaccines being delivered within the first 24 hours. And it will be done at virtually no cost to Americans. The terms of the dosage, there will be, is it anticipated that no later than January, all the top priority people will have received the vaccine or be able to receive the vaccine. And so that kind of prioritization, which is the general prioritization done for all vaccines that are developed, particularly in a pandemic setting, goes to the high-risk people, the people with other underlying conditions, as well as first responders and people working directly in healthcare. And so that's going to be done very rapidly. Okay.
I talked to my toxicologist friend over the weekend, retired 2 years ago from J&J. said the key is 70%. Got to get 7 out of 10 Americans to take this vaccine when it is approved by the FDA. And we do not need anti-vaxxer trash talk coming from Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. That will kill people. It will kill people dead if we do not get herd immunity up via vaccine and antibody use. And so please stop it, Joe Biden. I don't know what their cue cards are giving you. Urge people to get the vaccine when it's approved by the FDA. We do not need anti-vaxxer stuff. I will sit here all day long. I will do entire shows devoted to getting the vaccine once it is approved. But the Democrats have to stop trying to make it into a partisan political issue. It's not. It is good science. It is good for you if it's approved by the FDA. And I expect it will be soon, given the Dr. Atlas and the president's remarks yesterday. Go and get in line and get it quickly, and let's get back to normal. Now, when we come back, Dr. Michael Oren joins us. He's the author of The Night Archer, former Israeli deputy prime minister, former ambassador to America. I've got a tweet to read to him. I cannot wait to talk to Dr. Michael Oren. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt, joined from Israel by Ambassador Michael Oren, for many years the ambassador of Israel to the United States, former deputy minister in the Netanyahu government. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm great, Hugh.
I am enjoying The Night Archer every night, but we're going to talk about that next week because, of course, the events of this week are so important. I want to begin this way. Yesterday, a political commentator from L.A., a big YouTube commentator, his name is Brian Tyler Cohen, tweeted out, I can't get over the entire Trump team thinks that a peace agreement between countries that have never been at war means they've achieved peace in the Middle East. What's next? Peace between the United States and Canada? What's your response to that, Dr. Oren?
Oh, God, it's just nothing. First of all, it's actually wrong. Both the UAE and Bahrain waged very severe and punishing economic war against Israel in the oil boycott of 1974. You and I are both old enough to remember it.
Yes.
The result of that boycott, it changed Europe's attitude toward us. It caused dozens of African countries to cut off relations with Israel. It's just not true. They were in a state of war with us.
Erickson also...
That's a lie.
It is a lie. Eric Erickson also wrote about growing up in the UAE. They scissored every reference of Israel out of their textbooks. They waged the general war that the Arab world has waged against Israel since 1948. But now no more. It is a huge deal, but the left can't say so.
The left can't say so. They're saying the latest thing is they're saying it's peace and not normalization. That's the latest thing. It's really funny because as if somehow that normalization comes from peace. What we've learned from our peace treaties with Jordan, with Egypt, you can have peace, but there's no normalization. Normalization is 10 times better than just a peace accord. Well, and the fact that the people from Bahrain and the UAE are really going to flood in here and establish business relations and tourist relations and dialogues, that's real peace.
I also heard a criticism from our mutual friend Chuck Todd yesterday that the deal was a little transactional in his view. He's feeling bad. I'm going to talk to Chuck next hour that he thought the deal was too transactional. I don't quite know. I'll ask him what it means, but I don't understand that criticism either. Indeed, Dr. Oren, it seems to me a lot of people don't want to admit this is a major breakthrough.
They don't, and it is, and it changes everything, and it's total precedent for the Middle East, and every subsequent peace arrangement between Israel and the Arabs will look like this and not like the peace between Egypt and Israel and Jordan and Israel, which were maybe less transactional and were sort of fuzzy and warm, but didn't produce real peace between peoples. I'll take transactional peace that produces real normalization over fuzzy peace that produces very, very cold and often hostile relations any day.
Now, Dr. Oren, what do you expect will happen next? Are there more countries that will fall shortly into the Abraham Accord, or will it require the reelection of Donald Trump to make that happen?
Well, I can only say this again. I never want to get involved in internal American politics, but I'm just going on what former Vice President Biden has said, what former Senator Harris has said, that they will renew the Iran nuclear deal and that they will restore much of the relationship between Israel and the Palestinians. Okay, I can't think of two measures that would be more effective in stopping any peace process dead in its tracks than those two.
All right, let me play for you John Kerry at the Brookings in 2016 when he was Secretary of State. Cut number two.
There will be no separate peace between Israel and the Arab world. I want to make that very clear to all of you. I've heard several prominent politicians in Israel sometimes saying well, the Arab world's in a different place now. We just have to reach out to them and we can work some things with the Arab world and we'll deal with the Palestinians. No, 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 and no. I can tell you that reaffirmed even in the last week as I have talked to leaders of the Arab community. There will be no advance and separate peace with the Arab world without the Palestinian process and Palestinian peace.
So, Dr. Oren, I know he's your friend, and he's been a welcome guest on this show and is welcome to come back. But what do you make of Secretary Kerry? That was only 2016.
Well, to his I'm going to say wrong, wrong, wrong. Huh. You know, think of a ball and a pinball machine going wrong, 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 wrong. You know, John Kerry also said that that if Israel didn't make peace, we would be more isolated in the world on steroids. And Israel is less, of course, isolated today than any time in its history. He also said that technology would make it harder for Israel to defend itself. Tell that to the people who made the Iron Dome. Wrong, wrong, wrong. And, you know, it's difficult. It's difficult for the members of this peace industry, which is just far more than John Kerry. It's much of the media and academia and think tanks in Washington to say that all of their assumptions about the peace process was wrong, that the Arab-Israeli conflict was the core conflict. The core of that conflict was the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The core of that conflict was the settlement issue in Jerusalem. All wrong. All wrong. And it's difficult. And it's difficult for them to say, hey, this is terrific. This is really what we've always wanted. But, you know, they don't like the fact that Bibi's done it, Trump's done it, you know.
It is what it is. Let me close by asking you, Dr. Oren, we'll talk about the Night Archer next week, your terrific collection of stories. If the Israel voted soon, would this help Bibi Netanyahu, or is this now already factored into the polling in Israel?
It's already factored, and it didn't give him a major bump because we're about to become the only country in the world to go into a second lockdown. That's tomorrow. And the mood in the country is not jubilant, I got to tell you. It's very down.
Well, a good holidays to you, Rosh Hashanah. I will talk to you next week if we can. And good luck in the lockdown, Dr. Oren. You can still use your phone and your computer, I hope. The Night Archer, for everyone who wants a little bit of respite from the news, a terrific collection of short stories by Ambassador Oren. I'll be right back, hour two of the Thursday show. From Inside the Beltway. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.